you on the curves.
I'm not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
Steve, would you be excited if I told you that Disney was coming to Atlanta?
Sure. Yeah.
How exciting would it be for everybody in the United States basically to have a Disney attraction in their home state?
Other than the Disney store?
Yeah. Other than just a retail outlet.
Well, it sounds amazing.
Right? I think the concept is very exciting.
Yeah.
Because we all, well, the majority of Americans have a positive reaction to Disney in general, and the Disney parks are extremely popular.
Yeah.
You know, people have been going there for years as a family, is a big deal. So the idea of Disney putting something into your hometown
sounds very exciting.
Sounds super exciting.
Yeah, it does.
Is it bizarre that it did not work?
Because they gave it a shot, right? Like, they were planning on doing something called Disney Quest.
Right.
Which a lot of people probably don't know much about because they've only opened up two.
And they weren't very popular.
Apparently not.
I remember the first time that I went to Disney World, we were walking in downtown Disney, and the Disney Quest building was still there.
Oh, okay.
The first time I went. And they're like, maybe sometime we'll go in there. And I was like, what is that? And they're like, it's an indoor amusement park. And I was like, at Disney World, they built an amusement park in, is it like coasters and stuff? You know, like, yeah, no one could really describe it to you.
Right. It was a five-story, 100,000-square-foot building that they originally opened up in the heart of, what was it, Disney, Downtown Disney at the time? Mm-hmm. That's what they were calling it, right?
Yeah.
And they were billing it as an indoor amusement park, but really it was kind of like a virtual arcade, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like a Disney Dave and Buster's on steroids.
Yeah.
Is kind of what it was.
And I feel like this would have been prior to what Dave and Buster's, before we knew what Dave and Buster's was,
right,
or is, and at least they have food and alcohol as well, right? Like, that's the primary reason people go there.
Well, and to be fair, Dave and Buster's is a bunch of your standard arcade games,
yeah,
right? It's
classic, skee
ball,
old school,
and, you know, yeah, that kind of stuff. Whereas Disney Quest really pushed the envelope in trying to do something that was a singular experience that you wouldn't get somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
And mostly through the virtual reality.
And i.e. everything was Disney related.
Oh, of course.
Every single thing.
But those of us that lived through the 90s know what virtual reality was in the 90s.
Yeah.
It was cumbersome. It was uncomfortable. It was ugly.
Right.
It was occasionally nauseating because the graphics weren't great.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I applaud people for trying to take that step forward in technology.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea. However, oh man, just looking back at some of the stuff they had in Disney Quest, I said, this looks like the most 90s thing I've seen in a very long time.
Completely right. And I think this is the same problem that happens a lot with Epcot as well, that like when they first opened it, it was very technology heavy,
mm-hmm,
and it was very forward thinking, but that only lasts literally 18 months,
yeah,
and then it's completely out of date and there's something brand new and to ready to replace it.
Right.
And so it very quickly looks very dated.
Yeah.
So looking back on it, you're like, oh, dang.
Do you think that's maybe the problem that Disney Quest had, is that as technology moved forward, they weren't committed financially to improving Disney Quest consistently?
Gosh, that is definitely one of the problems. But it really never even got started off, it got kicked off the ground, because they planned on having it opened in 30 different cities all across the nation, basically.
Ooh.
And they only opened up in two. They opened one in, you know, Orlando, obviously, at the Disney park. And then they opened one in Chicago as well. And
yeah,
they were getting ready to open a third one. Where was it? Like Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania or somewhere. I don't remember. But they never finished building that building. It just, they dug the hole and then buried it back up, basically. Yeah.
That's really unfortunate, because I think I have, of course, I always have great ideas. Disney, uh-huh. you should hire me. I had another concept that I thought would work better that people would really heavily respond to.
Yeah.
But I see where they were going with this. In the 90s, video games were, I hate to say a niche market, but after the video game crash in 83.
Yeah.
It had regained its popularity by the 90s, and right. video games were a really big deal.
Well, even today, video games make up more money than all other media combined. If you take all movies, all music, all everything else, and add it all together, video games still outweigh all of that in profitability.
Right, and you can't blame Disney for saying, well, let's get in on that then.
Right.
And this is, I would say Disney Quest was a really good, solid swing. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Because they, in true Disney format, I don't think that they did anything halfway at the beginning.
No.
They're like, we're going to make this a really unique, immersive experience. It's going to be 5 stories tall. It's going to be all Disney themed. We're going to have experiences that you can't have anywhere else in our building. Right. And it's cool. It was a cool thing. The problem I think they ran into is the cost of operation mm-hmm. was too high for what they had built.
Right.
And the popularity, unfortunately, wasn't there.
Because to me, I think the biggest problem that I would have going there would be the $45 ticket charge to get in.
Whoa, wait, right? What, it was $45?
Apparently, it was like $45 to get into Disney Quest. And so, you know, that's completely different than what it would cost to get into like a Dave and Buster's or something, right?
That's almost a ticket. Like, that's like half the ticket of getting into Disneyland at that
and
point.
And that, I think, is the 100% real problem for it.
Right. And that's unfortunate, because let's go over a couple of things that were in Disney Quest.
Yeah.
That I find really cool. They obviously had the video games, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But then they did have my favorite. They had the Animation Academy in there, which is super neat. They did Digital Animation Academy, though.
Yes.
Which at the time is so new.
Yeah.
Learning to draw digitally with a stylus.
Uh-huh.
I would have loved to have a professional lesson on that, because I just taught myself.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that took forever. So they had the Animation Academy, Digital Animation Academy. They had a Radio Disney make your own music station.
Yes, and that looks super fun. It's a karaoke room, and you'd go into the karaoke room, you'd pick the version of song that you wanted to sing.
Uh-huh.
Then you'd pick your lyrics that you wanted to sing.
Ah.
Right? And then you would put it together and create your own karaoke song in the privacy of your own private room.
Well, semi-private, because when we saw it, it didn't have a roof on it. So if you were singing loud enough, I think people outside could probably hear you.
Yeah, you definitely could, but still better than going to an actual karaoke bar.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And, you know, you're not taking your kids to a karaoke bar that I know of.
Right.
Right?
No, it's not legal in most places.
They also had really cool things in the building that I think were unique. They had a slide that took you from the 5th floor down to the 3rd floor, if I wasn't mistaken.
Wow.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
It closed very quickly, though, because
people
were stopping in there, or who knows what, you know, people in slides, for some reason, the second we don't have eyes directly on us, we want to do something stupid, apparently.
Right.
But then all the stuff that I found the most interesting was on the ground floor area, which were the big virtual reality attractions.
Yeah.
Specifically for me, the Jungle Cruise.
The virtual Jungle Cruise?
Yeah. It looked bizarre, but super cool at the same time. Your family would get into a raft, like a literal raft.
A legitimate raft, yeah.
And you'd each have an oar, and then underneath you was an airbag that would inflate and move your
How great is that?
Your raft, like you're actually on the water.
That's pretty fun.
I think that's way cool.
And could you imagine if that's the way that Jungle Cruise was done today, that they would just put you on your little raft and be like, good luck, everybody.
Get to paddling. Uh-huh. They do that with the canoes, kind of, I guess.
Oh, I guess they do. You're right. Yes,
we've totally not done like the canoes. We should try that one day.
Yeah, they offer it at Disneyland. I don't know if they offer it at Disney World.
I've not seen where in Disney World they would offer it
either. Yeah, so I've not seen it there.
Well, yeah.
And they have so many other boat attractions at Disney World.
It's true. That you and, can go on. I mean, it's a liability. They're all professionally
skippered. It blows me away that they have offered at Disneyland
yeah.
that you get to ride your own canoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a huge attraction that you're not getting anywhere else that's Disney themed, right?
Yeah.
And they had a couple other attractions like that. One that died into the extraterrestrial attack. Well, I can't remember the name of the attraction now. It's long since gone, but it was billed as one of the most terrifying rides that Disney ever made, where you were trapped in a room with an alien. And they had a whole virtual reality thing. What these kind of feel like to me is the new Star Wars area ride.
Oh, uh-huh.
Where you all work together, you all have a job, and you all...
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
They do feel a lot like that.
Yeah.
That they're interactive, and you get, and they do offer a lot of these types of things as well, like as you're going through the queues on a lot of rides too. Mm-hmm. They kind of have the one where you build your own car and then you race your own car,
right,
when
test
you're
track.
Doing for mm-hmm. test track, and so it feels a lot like that. So maybe that was another thing that led to the demise of Disney Quest, is the fact that it just basically felt like you were stuck in a Disney queue all day long in a lot of ways.
You felt like you were waiting in line all right? the time.
Yeah, because there was another company that was opening up about the same time that was called GameWorks. Or is called GameWorks, and it was put on by Sega and by Universal, and also by DreamWorks, all partnered up. Mm. And they opened a thing called GameWorks, and apparently there's still like 5 or 6 or 7 open, including one in Vegas.
Huh.
Even still today, they've gone through bankruptcy quite a few times.
Well, like,
as one does when you're in the video game industry, apparently.
Right.
But yeah, they still have 7 arcades open now, and the majority of which have been closed. But I don't know, and I guess this was Disney's way of competing against that.
I could see that Disney seeing other people succeed at that, or start up that.
So attractive.
They're like, oh, we can do that. Oh, we could totally do that. And we could, you know, really let our Imagineers do crazy things, and we could build all sorts of games off this technology. You know, Disney, especially Walt, was always looking forward and saying, what's new? What's different? What's the new thing that's coming down the line that we can get ahead of, you know? And I could see Disney see other people start this and go, oh, maybe we should start that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
wonder if the problem ended up being that they... park was, or the attraction, the building, whatever, was too Disney themed and too expensive, and made the the cost of going too expensive, making it prohibitive for people to go back multiple times. There wasn't I think a $50 ticket, $45 ticket,
that's per person.
Yeah, if you take a family of four, it's close to $200, and there's no, that doesn't include food or anything else that may be included,
right? There's a term in video games called replayability, meaning that if you play the game and finish it, how likely are you to go back to the beginning and play through again?
Yeah.
And I feel like Disney Quest unfortunately suffered from a very low replayability.
Yeah.
Where people are like, I went there and did it.
Right.
You know, and despite the fact that it was very technologically advanced, I think waiting in line to ride a virtual raft ride, probably, and you know, they said that some of the games were very difficult and people just wouldn't win very often, and you know, it just turns into a thing where you're like, well, I'm not really getting anything out of this, and it's really expensive, and I wait in line a lot.
Yeah,
because
$50 to go and play and go wait in line.
Yeah, because I can imagine people, like specifically, like maybe even that singing thing, you could camp in there all day and nobody could get you out if they didn't, you know.
Right. Yeah, because I would definitely see that that's happening. And so now you're like, never mind, I don't even want to play this karaoke game. So it'd only be fun to go if you there was not many people there. So you could just walk from attraction to attraction and just do your own thing. If it's anything shy of that, I could see that it would be a problem.
And that's 100% not what Disney wants. They don't want a big ghost town of a building so you could walk around and do whatever you want in it. They right. want it to be crowded, full of people.
They did have a really fun ride there that was, that you would, it was kind of like bumper cars almost in a way, except it had, you were inside of a completely enclosed, you'd get inside your little car uh-huh. and enclose your door. I'm doing my best to explain this one because the video looks so amazing. And there would be balls on the ground and your little car would like suck up the balls and then it would then shoot the rubber balls at the other bumper cars that are in there.
Huh.
So it was like a
dodgeball
bumper car thing, and when your car would get hit you would it like light up and all kinds of sounds would go off like you just got and it sounds looks like the coolest version of bumper cars I have ever seen in my life.
Huh.
It looks so much fun and I've never seen it that anywhere else in any other attraction. So I could see where that would be so much fun. I would love to play that.
I bet the wait for that was terrible, though.
Terribly long. At least that would be one that they could kind of control the time on it, because it feels to me like a lot of the rides or a lot of the attractions were very, you know, especially with that singing game, man, you could be in that thing for hours. I have friends that would be in there for hours.
Friends. We all know you're talking about you.
Asking for a friend. Is there a time limit?
How long until someone forcibly removes me from this karaoke booth?
Yeah, I don't know. Because you do look at the success of something like Dave and Buster's and how great they're doing now. And you're wondering, is there a way that, you know, Disney could... And maybe they could have done it without the Disney name attached to it so specifically.
Mm.
Maybe that would then be more attractive to a larger pool of people. Because there are... I mean, I don't know. We say that everybody loves Disney, but we know that it's really only maybe like, I don't know, 10 or 20% of all Americans are... fanatically in love with Disney.
Sure.
You know, everybody else. If you had asked me 5 years ago what my if I wanted to go to this thing, I would say absolutely not.
Yeah.
But if you tell me you want to go, if you asked me to go to Dave and Buster's, I would have said sure, that sounds like more fun mm-hmm. for me. So it would be a turnoff for me to have it be called Disney Quest, maybe.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
You know,
I think the difference with Dave and Buster's is that it's definitely more geared towards adults of a certain age who grew up going to arcades,
yeah,
and going to Chuck E. Cheese and all that kind of stuff. It's a once again a brief glimpse back into our past where things were easier.
Sure.
And plus there's alcohol.
Yeah, it's
everything apparently is more fun with alcohol for right. adults.
Yeah,
right.
Well, yeah, we've experienced this too, that if you if you show people an arcade bar as opposed to like a dance club, like people are far more willing to go to that.
Sure.
And enjoy that. So there is definitely a renaissance or a reemergence of video gaming going on right now.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I almost wonder if like it would be, but then you do show how much of it was Disney theme park related. Mm-hmm. And I could see how that'd be very attractive for kids, but not for adults. And
well, and the Disney's whole idea was, they wanted to build their parks so that adults and children could go and have fun together.
Yeah.
It wasn't just for kids, right?
Yeah.
And I think that the Disney Quest experience was definitely geared that direction.
Yeah.
Where they're like, where can you go and pretend to row a raft down the Jungle Cruise with your kids?
Oh, right.
Here at Disney Quest, you know?
Yeah, and I know that like in Utah, there's a whole lot of like family fun centers that they call them, and I haven't seen them other places, but I know that they exist.
Mm.
And even Disney's had great success with like golf courses and indoor speed, go-karts and stuff, mm-hmm. you know. I think if they would have included more stuff like that, maybe it would have been more appealing to more people. Because that kind of stuff is still amazingly popular.
Right.
And it also costs an arm and a leg to go.
I have great ideas for Disney Quest that maybe we can spend another discussion episode talking about what Disney Quest could have been.
Oh, yeah.
Just
what are some of the highlights?
Oh, I thought... So, for those of us that have been to Disneyland, the line to get onto Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin
uh-huh.
is horrendous, first of all, because it's like a rat maze. But it's really coolly themed because it's like you're walking through Toontown.
Yeah.
My thought is, what if they had built each level to almost like a city sort of situation? Maybe it's like a scavenger hunt, or maybe it's like an interactive game of some kind that you use your magic bands on, and you can go and tap your magic band, kind of like the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom that they have in Florida, except it's all hyper-themed Disney. And it could be a really cool place to go for families and kids. They could have events there. You know, they would have five floors.
Would that all be like built throughout the building, or would that be the main attraction of the building?
No, like each floor would be a different place. So like you could have a whole level that was Pirates of the Caribbean. You could have a whole level that was the Haunted Mansion. You can have a whole level that was Toontown. And each level has different goals or different games or different, you know, levels of difficulty. And the better you get at the lower levels, the sooner you can move up, you know.
That would definitely have been fun to add into it.
And it's something that, again, replayability is huge. So if you can, I guess what I'm thinking, at the Magic Kingdom, they have the Pirates game that we were such a huge fan of.
Uh-huh.
If it was something like that, where you have goals and you go and tap your magic band and it makes something happen and moves you to a next location,
that would be incredibly fun. Even if, like what you're saying, like you would, different doors would open and take you to different parts of the game.
Exactly.
It's more like in, like you are actually inside of a game.
And at an indoor building, you could have all sorts of cool lighting effects and special effects and audio.
So that's almost a little bit closer to kind of like an escape room type of a thing.
Yeah, but a giant five-story Disney escape room would be awesome.
That you get to keep going from different place to different place.
So
that would be fun.
I'm just saying, Disney.
Because the other thing that I noticed about the building too, obviously, is that like it was five stories, but it was a building with no windows and no doors, right?
Which offers you a very chilling challenge. How much are you going to pay to get in?
But how fun would it have been if the outside was painted like the Haunted Mansion instead of just a great big
wavy building?
Windowless box.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You obviously couldn't put the Haunted Mansion in downtown Chicago and have it look cool.
It wouldn't quite work.
No. So, but I don't know. Something a little bit better than just having a windowless box. I don't know.
Well, maybe at another time we can discuss in more in depth ideas different about concepts. Disney Quest, what we think could have happened. And maybe if people listening have been to Disney Quest that absolutely loved us, would let us know, because I don't know anyone that's been in one.
Yeah, but it definitely looked fun when we saw the videos of it. Again, it was so much fun, but I would not pay $45 to go to there.
That's the bottom line. But it's like I always say, the Disney Quest is the best quest, because that's the quest that we like best.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.